Well, good morning, everyone. I am glad to be here, and don't worry if you can't hear me, because I think you will be able to hear me. All my life, I've been told that I have a big mouth. So when I leave here today, I'll be able to tell my family it paid off. You know, can't help but think about the fact that just a few months ago, we observed the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination. And okay. And in that 50 years, we witnessed a lot of history, a lot of growth, a lot of changes. 50 years ago, we would have never imagined that 40 years after his assassination, we would have an African American in the White House, not cleaning, not working as a butler, but the President of the United States. And now here we are witnessing attempts to turn back the hands of time. I know in the very core of my being that God is in the midst of all of this, that we are here on this planet at a particular time in history to be catalysts for change. Those of us who were here and witnessed the civil rights movement, those of us who were here and witnessed the lunar landings and all of those things, we know that everything is possible with God. There is nothing that is not possible. And as I reflect upon the work of Martin Luther King, I cannot help but feel and believe that that same spirit that he was imbued with was also imbued in Mahatma Gandhi, in Muhammad, in Buddha, in Krishna, because we are all one. Nothing in energy goes away. That same energy that we experienced as we moved through and grew through the civil rights movement, that same energy that we experienced with the inauguration of Barack Obama is still with us. So, what I'm going to challenge everyone in here to do is live the truth of our oneness. Regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear, regardless of what takes place around us, we stand in our truth. We live the truth of our oneness with the universe, and we see the power and the presence of God in all things. I challenge everyone here to see the indwelling Christ in all people, especially those who cannot see that for themselves, especially those who cannot recognize or refuse to recognize our oneness, those who refuse to see the divinity in every person on this planet. Charles Fillmore called it race consciousness. I choose to call it collective consciousness because it is the collective consciousness of everyone on this planet that contributes to the events that unfold. And as we get caught up in what's on the news, as we get caught up in what we hear other people saying, that changes our own consciousness. It has an effect on what we think and what we feel. The second unity principle says it very clearly. We are all inherently good. We are all one with God. That doesn't mean just those of us who think alike. That means everyone on the planet, including those with whom we disagree. So why is it that we forget this? We forget it. I forget it. I'm a minister, and I'm going to tell you, sometimes it is very hard to see the Christ in some people. And I've told this story in Florida a few times, and I'm going to share it with you. My second ex-husband and I were having a rather animated discussion. And I was really, really struggling with how to deal with this situation. And I really did not want to just completely lose control. So I just calmly said to him, maybe not too calmly, but I said to him, you know, it's really hard for me to see the Christ in you right now. And all he could do was stop and gasp and turn around and walk away. Because what were you going to say to that? You know? So I challenge you to say that sometimes to people and see how they react. I challenge you to make every effort to see the Christ when you're watching the news, when you're driving on the beltway, when you're downtown, when you're shopping. See, make every possible effort to see the Christ everywhere you go. You know, our fifth unity principle is what? Live our truth. We know this. We know all of these unity principles. We recite them, we read them. You have it on the back of your bulletin. Live that truth. You know, Dr. King's example of peaceful protest and passive resistance didn't stop with just the physical actions. It started in his heart. It started inside and was projected outside. And this is what we are called upon to do. We know these truths. We know these truths. And we're living in times right now where it's a challenge to stand on these truths and live these truths. In Atom Smashing Power of Mind, Charles Fillmore wrote, all things are in the consciousness, and you have to learn to separate erroneous from the true. We have to learn to separate the darkness from the light. We hold the light for the world. You said it. I think it's in your vision statement. We hold the light for the world. This is why we're here. We are here for a purpose. So what I'm going to propose to you today is a 12-step program for conscious awakening. We've got 12-step programs for everything else, for gambling, for overeating, for drinking, for drugs. So let us this morning embark upon a 12-step program for our own personal conscious awakening. And that first step is to resonate and apply universal law. And that universal law is the same as the second unity principle. We are one. We are one in God. It is time for us to stand on the truth of our oneness more strongly than ever before. We release that me consciousness and we replace it with the we consciousness. Not too long ago, I was going through a personal challenge. And you know how God sends people to you when you need them most? I was literally sitting in a restaurant, not really having a pity party, but not feeling all that good about things. And a gentleman walked up to me, and he said, "You're a woman of God." He went on to say, "You go to church every Sunday. You do a lot to help other people." And I'm like, "Wow, okay, God, thank you. I needed that reminder." I blessed him. I went on with my dinner. And it was a restaurant with a salad bar. So I was on my way back to my table. I stopped at his table. His table was next to mine. And I thanked him for the blessing. And he shared with me something very, very amazing. Amazing. This man was an elderly Jewish gentleman, and he said, 30 years ago, I was struck by a drunk driver. I was declared dead, and the paramedics were able to revive me and bring me back. He said, but during that time that I was out of my body, I went into a giant orb, a big circle. And he said, in that circle was everybody else in the world. And everything that anyone else said, everything that anyone did, was felt by everyone else in this orb. And he blew me away. It literally blew me away. I was speechless, and I'm seldom speechless. I was so impressed by this gentleman and what he shared with me, that when he and his wife and I talked for quite a little while in the parking lot of that restaurant, when I got in my car, all I could do was cry and pray and thank God. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for that confirmation of the truth that I already knew. We are one. What one person says is heard by all. What one person feels is felt by all. It is our work to bless everyone on this planet with the truth that not only are we one, that we are one in God, and we are here for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to be joyful, to be at peace, to be happy. The second step is to learn to love, truly, truly love unconditionally. It's easy to love somebody who is kind to you, is kind to us, who behaves in the manner that we think they should behave, who does the things that we think they should do. The word love is in the Bible 643 times. And the admonition to love others as you love yourself is in the Bible 8 times. The first time is in Leviticus. It's in Matthew twice. It's also in Mark, Luke, Romans, Galatians, and James. Love one another as you love yourself. Love of self, true love of yourself, does lead to love of all. Because if you truly love yourself, it's impossible to hurt anyone else. If you truly love yourself, it is impossible to say anything that is hurtful to another human being. So as we see these people, politicians and others, around the world saying and doing things that are hurtful to others, we understand they don't love themselves. So as challenging as it is, we shower them with love. We shower them with unconditional love. And we hold that light for them, because they can't hold that light of love for themselves. And we hold that vision of love for them, because that is, as Marvin Gaye said, love is the only thing that conquers hate. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. There are times when I will go a full week without watching the news because I have to stay in prayer to get myself back to where I know I'm supposed to be. And it's not always just the news. There are a lot of other things around us in the media and on social media and everywhere we look that will stand between us and the truth of unconditional love. So we've got our work to do right about now. Okay? The third step is to accept with compassion. Accept with compassion. Release preconceived notions and ideas of how we believe and feel things should be. And let go of those things that create angst within us. And of course, forgive. Forgive ourselves and forgive others as many times as necessary. Matthew 18:22 says we are to forgive 70 times 7. Let it go. Let it go. Even though it's not a unity text, and some of the things within this particular book are not unity teachings, I read a book by T.D. Jakes a few years ago called Let It Go. And it's all about forgiveness. And there's some very valuable lessons in there, helping people to literally let go of all of the things, the hurt and the subliminal anger that a lot of people walk around with. The fourth step is see the meaning, value, and purpose of all life. Understand that everything we see is a mirror. It's a mirror or a part of who we are. So know that everything and everybody that comes our way comes to us by choice, by our own choice. We bring it through our consciousness into our lives. Yeah, I know someone who claims to be accident prone. And because they claim it, guess what? This particular individual has experienced accidents that you think are in a comic book. A car ran over her foot. She was at home in her kitchen almost immediately after the foot healed and just fell and cracked her kneecap. I mean, we're talking serious accidents this lady was in. And I'm like, after the third accident, I quite honestly forgot what the third one was. And each time I'm running to the hospital praying with this lady because even though Unity Golden Life Ministries is known for the meditation services on the beach, we do a lot of pastoral care. We do a lot of pastoral care and spiritual support for hospice patients and their circle of care. So every time she's hurt, I'm running to the hospital. So finally, after the third one, I said, you know, let's look at this for a minute. Let us really look at this because you're laying in this hospital bed. And, you know, I'm just accident prone. Things just happen to me. Why are you claiming this? Why do you claim that you are accident prone? And it turned out that she recognized and acknowledged she lives alone, and it's the only way she felt like she was getting attention from other people. Yeah. And I helped her see that that was not necessary. And thank God, to my knowledge, she hasn't had another, she had one car accident since then. But she wasn't hurt. And she's learned to live without a car for a little while, and she's doing okay. The fifth step is to fill your heart with gratitude. In all things, be grateful. Even those things that seem like disasters or stumbling blocks. Everything has a purpose. In another book that I wrote, and it's out of print right now, I'm working on the second edition, I talk about the fact that my maternal grandmother lived in a house that was old out in Charles County. It was the house that she grew up in. And back then they didn't need building permits, so they just added rooms on the house willy-nilly whenever they wanted to. And my aunt made her transition, and my cousin came to live with my grandmother. And even though there were all of these rooms in the house, there was not a bedroom for my cousin to sleep in. And there was a fire in the house, like 2 or 3 months after my cousin moved in with our grandmother. Well, as a result of the fire, not only did she have a bedroom, she also wound up with a sitting room. So it was very inconvenient for a few months, but once the work was done, and it was all paid for by the insurance company, she had a beautiful two-room suite. I look at the hurricanes that have blown through Florida since I've been there. And there's been a lot of destruction, physical destruction that has cost billions and billions of dollars. I think one of the major results of these hurricanes is not only a cleansing and a wiping away by nature, which also happens with forest fires, and we get them in Florida sometimes too, wildfires. It has resulted in an improvement in building codes. Homes and buildings that are have been constructed since Andrew, and I think it was 1992, can withstand much, much more stronger winds and much, much more rain than any of the structures that were put up before then. This last hurricane, the one, what was it called, Irma, the one that was supposed to cover and blanket the entire state of Florida, there was not a lot of structural damage. The only people who were hurt were the ones who went out when they weren't supposed to. So as things come along, things do improve, even though you're going through this turmoil. My own house, during Hurricane Irma, not only did it not sustain any damage, we never lost electricity. The only damage I had was every avocado on my tree got blown off. And if you know anything about avocados, they don't ripen on the tree. They can stay on the tree forever and will not get ripe. They only get ripe when you take them off the tree and they sit in the house for 5 days. So here I had all of these, hundreds of avocados on the ground. So I just, the community has a Facebook page. I bring a bag, bring a basket, come get the avocados. And that was it. So I was blessed, truly blessed. The sixth step is commit to personal progress. Everybody is different from everyone else. It is only through being in the silence and meditation that you can determine, by listening to Holy Spirit, what is right for you to do. It is only through self-examination that you can come to your own spiritual awakening. No one can do it for you. No one can do it for you. We can give you tools to work with. We can talk with you. We can counsel you. But the final determination is yours and yours alone. Parents always like to guide their children to a specific career. Not always. Mine did. To specific careers. Did it for my brother and for me. And neither one of us has worked in the fields in which we got our degrees. And you'll read more about that in Living a Golden Life. You have to follow your own inner guides. And I encourage parents to heed the words of Khalil Gibran, wherein the prophet, he talks about the fact that our children are here to be nurtured, but they come through us. But we are not responsible for telling them what to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what do they call them, the helicopter parents? Land that helicopter and let those kids be who God meant them to be. The seventh step is to know your body temple. Self-care, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Self-care is paramount. And know your body temple. Know it. You can tell. If you really know your body, you can tell when something is going wrong on the inside. And you also know when I don't really need that right now. I might need it later. Or I needed it and I don't need it any longer, but don't be headstrong about it. I have a very unique situation in that my A1C has been at a certain level for the last 25 years, maybe more. And I was told at that time, you're borderline. And then they changed the threshold. My A1C has not changed. They changed the threshold, and they wanted to put me on a prescription medication. And I'm like, I didn't change, you did. And I feel fine. If I start to notice changes within my body, and that's one thing that I do every single morning and night, is during my prayer and meditation time, I do a body check. And I told my primary care doctor, and he doesn't like it, but you know, I told him, if you really want me to take this medication, you pay for it. But I don't need it right now. There was another situation where I knew something just wasn't quite right. And I went to the doctor, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong, but something's not right. I needed a pacemaker. Who knew? I didn't. He didn't either. But, you know, that was, I mean, he didn't until he ran the test when I kept telling him, I just don't, something's wrong. And on that same vein, if you are having a challenge with your body and you go to the doctor the first time and they say, well, there's nothing wrong and you're still not feeling quite right, don't accept it. You know your body. Know your body. Know it. That's one of the steps for conscious awakening, to really truly get to know your body and just be present with your own physical vessel. God blessed us with these body temples to take us through this journey. Know your vessel, know your vehicle. Just like a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people know their automobiles. And they can tell when the car's not running right. We have to know about our bodies the same way. The eighth step is to surrender to the unknown. If you always do what you always did, you're going to always get what you always got. If you want to see change, then you have to be willing to accept and be open to what you don't know. It's as simple as that. Be willing to let go of the familiar. Be willing to let go of what's comfortable. Get out of that box. Get out of that comfort zone. Be willing to experience a new reality on all levels. Step number 9 is be impeccable in all things. In all things. The best way to summarize that step is what Martin Luther King said. The time is always right to do what is right. You know, when we were kids, we see the little cartoons with the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. That's all that's about. Be impeccable. Always do what we know is for the highest good. The highest good of ourselves, the highest good of everyone around us, and the highest good for the universe. Number 10. Know that the universe would be incomplete without everybody on the planet. That means that the universe would be incomplete without these people who are rubbing us the wrong way. Because the truth of the matter is, without these people who are agitating us in whatever way or form they are agitating us, we're not going to stretch and grow. Just like an oyster, that grain of sand inside that oyster, it irritates the oyster and they build that membrane around that grain of sand. And the more it irritates, the more that membrane grows and grows until it's a pearl. It's the same with us. As we are irritated by anything or anyone, we cover them with that membrane of light and love, and they become that beautiful, valuable, sometimes very valuable pearl. The 11th step is to understand that we teach what we need to learn. And sometimes we teach it in a reverse manner. Sometimes by our actions, we're teaching our children to do things that may be detrimental to them. And then we realize we didn't do it the way God intended us to do it. Sometimes by our words, we convey messages that in the long run may not be as beneficial as we think they should be. How many times have we heard or even said to our own children or grandchildren, "You're not going to amount to anything"? And that's not what we intend. What we intend, in most cases, is to spur them on to do better. But those words have power. Those words have power. The final step is to create communities of equality, harmony, and balance, and then invite the world in. And this is what we do in unity. I don't know of any unity center on the planet where there is not a community of love, of harmony, of balance. Well, sometimes there may be some challenges because sometimes egos get involved. But the bottom line is, we do, in unity, create that community. That community of inclusiveness. That community of unconditional love. That community where everyone is welcome. So then, with this community of inclusiveness, of unconditional love, balance, and harmony, we invite the world in. And we invite the world in through our actions. Through our actions. I know of more than one instance where someone has walked up to someone I know in unity, and it's happened with me as well. I'd like to come to your church. Everybody in here may or may not have already experienced that. But as we live our unity principles, people will come to us. Not necessarily to come to worship with us, but they want to know how you did it. How do you do it? How do you stay peaceful? How do you stay centered? I remember when I was actually, before I moved away, I was living up here, and I used to work at NPR headquarters. And if you work in any news organization, it's a zoo. And somebody once asked me, how do you stay so calm? And I thought, I meditate a lot. You know, I mean, literally, I would sit in the office sometimes, shut the door, and meditate. But yeah, they asked, I answered. And everybody in here has the potential for the same thing. If anyone asks you, how do you do it? You've got your own answer. Mine was, I meditate a lot. However you find your peace, don't be afraid to share it. Share your gift of inner peace and light and love with the world. That's how you invite the world in. A Course in Miracles, one of the lessons is, I see no neutral things. And the point of that lesson is to help us begin to set aside our personal feelings, ideology, thoughts, and prejudices. Because those things have the potential to push our buttons. So just set it aside. And mastering that practice of neutrality is essential when facing things like those that we witness in the physical world around us. Because as anyone who studies A Course in Miracles knows, it's all an illusion. It's all an illusion that's been created by ego and the collective consciousness of the egos around us. So let's make that commitment. Let's make that commitment to conscious awakening. Surrender. Surrender all of those things that have the potential to push our buttons. Necessary steps to move forward in making the world a better place, and trust God. And know that we are one with God and one with the universe. We know that all is in divine order. And let's rely upon and stand upon those three O's. We know that God is omnipresent. present at all times and all things and all circumstances. Know that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. And know that God is omniscient. God knows all. We don't have to know the answers. We don't have to know where the stairway leads. Like Martin Luther King said, all we have to do is take that first step and stand in and live in our faith. Amen.